Today we're going to continue walking through the liturgy of the Eucharist. Last week we ended with the prayer over the offerings. Following this is when the priest begins the Eucharistic prayer, and the start of which is called the preface dialogue. This is the part, we're all familiar with it, where the priest says, "The Lord be with you." We respond, "And with your spirit." He then says, "Lift up your hearts." We respond, "We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just." There's a priest in the Archdiocese of Washington. His name is Monsignor Charles Pope. Interesting name for a priest, right? Pope. And he explains this exchange that we have with the priest as he's acting in the person of Christ. He elaborates on its meaning, and so I want to read this to you, this dialogue. Brandon has the handouts too. The printer ran out of paper earlier this morning, so we didn't get to print that stuff out. So if anybody needs the handouts, please raise your hand and he'll bring them to you. Thank you, Brandon. Monsignor Pope says the following. "Let your hearts be taken up. Come and go with me to the altar that is in heaven, where I, Jesus the great high priest, with all the members of my body, render perfect thanks to God the Father. You are no longer on earth. Your hearts have been swept aloft into the great liturgy of heaven. Come up higher. By the power of my words, you are able to come up higher. Since you have been raised to new life in Christ, seek the things that are above, where I am, at my Father's right hand. Come up now and enter the heavenly liturgy, hearts aloft." He then explains our response is meant to be in joy and a kind of acceptance of this summons that our Lord is summoning us into the heavenly liturgy. Monsignor Pope continues, "We have our hearts lifted to the Lord. We have entered the heavenly liturgy by the power of your grace. For you, our head, have taken us, the members of your body there. We are in the heavenly realms with you, worshiping the Father and giving him perfect thanks and praise. It is right and just that we should do this through you, with you, and in you." So the preface dialogue is another reminder of the thing that we've talked about multiple times in this, is that the priest that's in front of you, the priest that you see, is actually the instrument of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one performing the actions through him. That you're actually participating in something that's taking place in heaven. And that even though we're here physically on earth, that we are spiritually joined to all our brothers and sisters in heaven and with our Lord too. That the church that we find ourselves sitting in is actually the heavenly temple. That the bread and wine that you see with your eyes are actually, after the consecration, going to become Jesus Christ, his body and blood, who is really alive. This preface dialogue itself is actually very ancient. We have records of it going back 1,800 years that we have been using this inside the Divine Liturgy. The priest is going to then continue with the preface, or continue the preface, and at the end, we will sing what's called the Sanctus, and the text of which we're all familiar with. "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So again, we're joining our voices to those who are in heaven, those who are before the throne of God himself. We're praising him. We're calling out to him. And it's a preparation for us, right, to kind of enter into a place where we realize the encounter we're about to have. Because our Lord is going to be here on the altar, sacramentally present. It's to prepare our encounter with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And after we've completed singing the Sanctus, we kind of fall down, right, on our knees in worship to prepare ourselves for the person that's about to become present on the altar. Following this prayer is the Epiclesis. So in the Epiclesis, the priest is praying that the Holy Spirit would be sent in order that the bread and wine would become the body and blood of our Lord. This is another reminder, right, that God is the one that's doing this. That the priest you're seeing is not himself have power in his human nature, but through the sacrament that he's received in holy orders is able to do this. And this is the first time, you know, we have those times in the Mass where we hear the bells ring. This is the first time that you're going to hear the bells ring is during the Epiclesis. The words that Jesus uses at the Last Supper are sacrificial, as the Old Testament language in the Passover ceremony is. But when he gets to this point in the Last Supper and he's talking about this idea of sacrifice, he's no longer talking about this animal, this lamb that is going to be sacrificed. He's talking about himself, right? That he's going to sacrifice. He speaks of a body being given up. He speaks of blood being poured out, and how this blood that is going to be poured out is going to be the blood of the new covenant. This is, if you will, the moment that we've all kind of been waiting for, right? This is the height of what's going to take place in the Mass, that our Lord comes down to be with us. When the priest speaks the words, "This is my body, this is my blood," and they become his body and blood. And again, we hear the bells, right? The second time when the priest consecrates the bread, and the third time when the priest consecrates the wine. After this, you'll notice the priest will genuflect, right? Each time to the Blessed Sacrament. The second time when he genuflects in front of the chalice, he stands up and he says simply and soberly the mystery of faith. And it's kind of just like this thing that he says, and we're all kind of like, okay, and then we have our response. But we have to remember what's going on, what's been taking place in the Mass all the way up to this point for him to say these words, that the mystery of faith is taking place. As we talked about when we started going through the Mass at the start of the year, we talked about how the sacrifice of the cross and the sacrifice that's taking place in the Mass are the same exact one single sacrifice. To understand this properly, we need to understand what it does not mean. First, it does not mean that the Mass is kind of a reenactment of the sacrifice of the cross. Like, that there's a whole bunch of actors up there and you're like viewing or spectating at a play. It's not that. Second, it does not mean, as some accuse Catholics of, is that it's not a re-sacrifice. It's not a sacrificing again of Jesus Christ, as if we kill our Lord at every Mass. He does not suffer and die again. We see this in the book of Hebrews, right? It says, "When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." And in the Catechism in paragraph 1366, it says that the Mass is a sacrifice because it represents or makes present the sacrifice of the cross. And the Catechism kind of sums these two ideas up pretty nicely in 1545. It says, "The redemptive sacrifice of Christ is unique, accomplished once for all, yet it is made present in the Eucharistic sacrifice of the Church." In other words, our Lord shed his blood for us only once. But because he's not only man, but God himself, that sacrifice, that offering, is always present in the heavens, right? In his heavenly Father, before his heavenly Father in the heavenly liturgy. And we can see this even in Scripture when we look in the book of Revelation in chapter 5. St. John is having this vision of heaven, and he says, "I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain." And if there's one thing that we all know about lambs that are slain, they're not standing, right? They're not moving around doing things. But here, this is kind of the vision that St. John has. Because he's seeing the crucified Christ resurrected. Just like in the Gospels, we see how the apostles witness our Lord with his wounds still before them, but yet walking around eating and conversing with them. Again, we see in the book of Hebrews, Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So the sacrifice of the Mass is that one and same sacrifice from 2,000 years ago. Every single one of us is present at the sacrifice of the cross. Every single one of us, when participating in the Mass, is present at the Last Supper. We're present when he speaks the words to his apostles, right? When he says, "Take, eat, this body is offered for you. Take, drink this chalice, which is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood." And at the Last Supper, our Lord gave those apostles a command, right, to do this in memory of me. And this that they're supposed to do is what we do at Mass, right? The sacrifice that he just offered at the Last Supper is what we are supposed to be offering at the Mass. They're imitating and participating what Jesus did at the Last Supper, making present the sacrifice of the cross in an unbloody manner, just as he did. And this is what the priest is recognizing when he says those words, right? When he says the mystery of faith. It's all of that, if you will, encompassed in that short sentence that he's saying. And our response, we kind of echo that by saying, "We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again." The prayer that immediately follows this is called the anamnesis. And it is a Greek word that means memorial or remembrance. And so this prayer is a communication of the fact that we have in fact done what our Lord commanded at the Last Supper, to do this in memory of him, to offer his sacrifice. The priest then prays the final doxology. In this prayer, notice that the priest is no longer referring to the bread and wine as things, right? But as a person, right? Through him and with him and in him, O God Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. And we all say, Amen, professing our belief that our Lord is now here and present under the appearances of bread and wine.